You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Well, as we've been talking about this whole year, we've been focusing on this idea of discipleship. We spent some time talking about leadership, what it means to be a shepherd. And leadership in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, is a sacred responsibility. But it's not about status. It's not about position. It's not about power. It's about something different. It's not about leadership the way the world sees leadership. Jesus had been with his followers for close to 3 years. It was time for Passover. This was the meal they all looked forward to. I guess we could equate it to Thanksgiving. You know, this was their moment where they looked forward to the meal, to the rituals, the things that they would do together as a family. And this was the night also that Jesus would be arrested. A few hours to go. But his disciples still had so much to learn. So with this in mind, he taught one last lesson on leadership from John chapter 13. And we're going to start in verse 3. You can look on the screen. It says this: Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. Now, the washing of the feet was the most, I would say, one of the most important things that a host could offer. It was probably open-toed sandals, lots of dirt, and their feet got very dirty. So it was one of the most important things a host could offer. If you didn't offer it, your guest could be insulted. The host could suffer dishonor. But it's interesting that it's also the job no one wanted to do. So they gave it to the slave, the least important slave to do. So can you imagine the most important task of a host given to the least important slave? Now, it was unheard of for superiors to wash the feet of their inferiors. So when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, they were noticeably upset and uncomfortable. If you keep reading here, you'll see Peter's reaction. What did he say? No, 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 you will not do this to me. I mean, imagine what they're thinking. What does Jesus think he's doing? He's our leader. He is our leader, and he just humiliated himself in front of everyone, before Passover, no less. But Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He was still teaching. He was modeling. He was showing them an example, still showing them a better way. So let's look in verse 12 of the same chapter. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have just done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that's what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." So here's 12 men. Who knows who else was there? These men had an idea of leadership, and their idea of leadership meant coercion. But Jesus said, serve. Their idea of leadership was about power and authority and making people obey them. But Jesus said, serve. To these men, they thought leadership meant shaping their nation into their image through radical change. But Jesus said, serve. These men thought leadership meant glory, honor, prestige, and a title. And Jesus said, serve. He showed us we are not too good to serve. Even if we think what we're doing is beneath us. Now keep in mind, Judas is there too. The one who would betray him. Jesus is washing his feet too. Jesus in that moment showed us nothing's beneath us to do, and no one is beneath serving. And there's no one unworthy enough for us not to serve. Even those people who want to kill us. If Jesus wasn't too good to serve these people in this way, then why in the world would we think we are too good to serve in that way to those type of people? When we choose to follow Jesus Christ, we are choosing to serve. Let me say that again. When we choose to follow Jesus Christ, we are choosing to serve. Now, in a moment, we're going to welcome our new elders, our new shepherds. But please understand, just like these early apostles, God's not calling them to positions of power and glory, but to positions of service. It's not to take on a privileged status, but rather it's to take up a towel. It's to be able to wash people's feet, to be able to take this status, this position that Jesus took. In the hymn we read earlier, my son would not ever consider himself even remotely as good as me in this age of his life, as you probably never thought that way about your father. Jesus never once thought of himself that he could even equal God, and there's nothing he could even grasp. So he took on himself the form of a servant. Which is what these men are doing also. These men, like our current elders, are agreeing to serve this church family without pay, regardless of what you might hear, without honor, because they love God and they love you. They're choosing to, in turn, also teach us how to serve. I'm going to ask our current elders to go ahead and make your way down, if you would. I have been privileged to serve with these men. One thing I will say is that these are four of the most humble men that I know. And I don't say that lightly. I see it in their eyes. I hear it in their voice. I don't want to embarrass them by telling them individual stories, but what I will tell you is that these men care about you in ways that I am learning and I am humbled by. So before we continue, I wanted to say a prayer for you, a thank you. And so join me as we pray. Thank you. Thanks for our elders. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these men. Thank you for who they are, for their families, for the examples that they have been. Lord, for their way, the way that they care for us. Lord, for serving. Lord, we pray that you continue to bless them. Give them strength and courage and peace. Lord, we love you and we are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Chauncey? Yes, yes, sir.
First of all, Scott basically has already said everything that I'm up here to say. They put me first because they know I can go on and on and on, so they hoped if I went first, I'd go quick. So I just want to, first of all, as an eldership, thank you for your support throughout this process. Thank you for, obviously, for your prayers. But let me just reinstate that again with the prayers. Of course, guys, we're in daily prayer for you, and we would in turn ask that you continually pray for this, for the shepherds and for the deacons and for each other in this church. Prayer is obviously should be one of the main things that we do every day. Any chance we have the opportunity, whether you're driving down the street or you're at home or you just stop for a cup of coffee for a minute, then that's one of the things obviously that we should do. So we ask for that continued support and ask for those continued prayers, because obviously all of us need it in whatever walks of life that we have. But again, we just love you so much. You know, it's kind of like we tell our wives sometimes, I don't tell you enough, but you know, we do. Guys, we love you so much and we just thank you for what you do. We thank you for the love that you have for God and his son, Jesus Christ, and that you're open about that. And we just ask that you continue to pray and that you be with us and that you help us in everything that we do, because we obviously need your help also. So at this time, I'm going to hand it over to George, and Gonzalo, and he has a letter from George.
In a few minutes, we will have the men that we will be affirming as shepherds. You will notice that a few weeks ago, we had three men come forward that we put before you. In these past few weeks, we've had discussions, and one of those men has decided to withdraw his name from consideration. That was George Dalton. And George asked us to read this letter to you. To the family of Christ that meets at 525 Park Avenue, Grapevine, Texas, Gene and I want to express to you how much we have loved this church for the past 36 years. We were young and full of dreams when we first came to Grapevine 36 years ago. Now, our hair is turning gray and our eyes are starting to dim, but one thing that has never dimmed is our love for this church and our respect for the men who serve as our elders. Remember, they are volunteers. Oh, mistakes. We have made a few. Overall, it has been a blessing to worship here. Sometimes, in my zeal to make sure I was not like the man with one talent, I may have become the man with the millstone around his neck. If so, please forgive me. We baptize children here. We marry daughters and granddaughters here. We have soaked up the Christian fellowship in this place, and we have cried at many funerals in that time. We have stood by when wonderful Christian brothers and sisters took their last breath in this old world and leaped with joy into the next. Sometimes, when we think we are settled in, God has other plans. After meeting with a few of the members, then with the elders, and after much prayer, we feel that God is directing our steps in another direction. It is with both a sad heart and excited anticipation that we are anticipating where God will be sending us in the future. To allow us to be more flexible in our search to see where God is leading us, effective today, I am resigning as a deacon and asking that my name be removed from the list of potential elders. Please keep Gene and I in your prayers, as we will keep you in ours. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and bring you peace. In the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, George Dalton.
Skip. You know, as you look out in this room, there's many men in this congregation who could serve as elders, and hopefully at one time or another you'll choose to take that step. I look out here and I see Bob Wren and Henry Kovarnik, who have served as elders of this congregation in the past and did an outstanding job in passing the baton eventually, and I'm really glad to see them here in the audience this morning. But we have had two men who have agreed to serve and join us in serving you. I love the way Scott put it this morning. It is about service to us. And we do have a short video right now, if y'all would play that video.
Well, good morning. My name is Bob Templeton, and this is my wife, Angie. We're very excited to be members here at the Grapevine Church of Christ. Church has been a part of our lives for our entire lives, and we believe that the church is the body of Christ and that we are a part of God's family, and that we're excited to have this opportunity to be a part of the eldership team here at Grapevine.
I'm Robert Bennett, and this is my wife of 26 years, Jennifer Bennett, and we're excited about being a part of Grapevine. We're excited about being considered part of the leadership at Grapevine.
You know, as soon as we placed membership here, we noticed immediately how the church was very active with VBS, with watching the mission trips and hearing the reports of the mission work, seeing the local outreach through the coat drive and through Barefoot Sunday. And it is obvious to us that the church definitely is all about spreading the gospel and helping people.
We do believe in small town. We believe in worshiping where you live, working where you live, and doing as much as you can to make the community better.
We're excited to be a part of Grapevine, where we can give our lives to and live our lives for Jesus Christ. We are excited about being with you as we learn to love, serve, and grow together.
I would ask that Bob and Robert come forward at this time. I like that enthusiasm. Come on up here. And if they'd like to say a few words, I'd give the mic over to them.
Thank you. This is a very, I have a couple of emotions that are running through my mind. It's humbling. I'm very humbled to be before you. I'm also very thankful. I am thankful because I truly recognize that this is the culmination of events that started many, many years ago. I'm thankful for my parents that raised me in the church and that have taught me the Bible. I'm thankful for my wife that has supported me and helped me all through the years. I'm thankful for my wife's parents, for Randy and Kay, that have raised their daughter to be so giving and so sacrificial and to recognize the value of being a part of a church family. And I'm thankful for our daughter that continues to encourage me. And most importantly, I'm thankful for you. And I truly relish this opportunity to get to know you better, to help the elders that are here today and to learn from them, and to most importantly, to help us together grow closer to God.
I'd like to also mirror those comments because it is a culmination of decisions that have gotten both Bob and I at this point. And it begins, I would be remiss to say that it was to begin with the foundation. Sitting on my row, my mother is here today. She made sure that I was in Bible class every Sunday growing up. And she set the foundation and the beginnings. But I realized there comes a time where it falls on my decisions and the choices I made. And I selected a wife that has encouraged and enabled me to be here, that she has never brought me shame, that she has encouraged a life of rearing two girls that have also walked in the footsteps and emulated Christ in their decisions, and I am proud of that. But it is all led to a point to where I'm even considered eligible, and for that I'm humbled and I'm grateful. And I do look forward to worshiping and serving this body in a fuller capacity. And I want you to know that my phone is always on, and if it's not, I'm sleeping. And you can call anytime, and if it's in the middle of the night, I'll probably answer because that's when I work. And I just want you to know that I will be here, I will be ears for you, and I will be gladly hear your concerns and problems or joys and celebrations as well. But thank you for allowing me to accept this position.
In a moment, Charlie's going to come up and say a blessing over them. But I wanted you to know that we finally have elders who work around the clock. So that's it's going to be. Could you men stand right here in the center? Could you all scoot over just a little bit? Today, gentlemen, we formally recognize you as elders, as shepherds, as overseers of this congregation, along with these four men here. And we believe God has spoken collectively through this church family. And I wanted to take a moment to encourage you with the very words of Peter that he spoke to through his letter. This is going to be in chapter 5, his first letter. It says this: "Tend the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, not for sordid gain, but eagerly. And do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will win the crown of glory that never fades away. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you must clothe yourself with humility in your dealings with one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So today, I encourage you to remember your teacher. Remember his way, what he was willing to do. And I wanted to give you both a reminder of your new responsibility. This is very simple. This is a simple towel. You'll notice it's not made of satin or silk. It is probably very common towel that you'll see in most any kitchen for most any common work. This will remind you that Jesus taught us to love, to serve one another in love. And although your service will be common, it will be blessed because you do it in the model of Jesus, not to be served, but to serve. You stand up here today because you've stepped up and you've stepped out and you've offered not to be served, but to serve, and not to be the head rulers among us, but to be the head servants among us, to remind us that nothing is beneath us when it is done with love and service to one another. So God has called you all by the voice of this church to serve as a living reminder of the ministry of Jesus Christ, both in the church and in the world. You've been called to be shepherds. You've been called to be overseers, servants after the model of Jesus. We are excited to see what God has through this group of men. Church, I'm going to ask you today also, I'm going to ask you to promise to be supportive, loving co-workers of these men up here right now, to pledge to pray for these men, to encourage them, to show God's grace to them and to one another. Hear the word of the Lord, Hebrews 13. Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.